Welcome to Roll Over Beethoven, a rock critic's guide to classical. This is Tim Riley. In this episode, we listen to two acts that sponged from Brahms symphonies. Yes, the British progressive rock group from the 1970s, and a 1999 Santana duet with Dave Matthews. Progressive rock emerged in the early 1970s as a vision of the style's uncertain future. Like the sci-fi graphics many used for album covers, these bands embraced elaborate myth and fantasy. Instead of emphasizing rock's everyman values, this genre proudly announced its ties to classical music, quoting directly from the symphonic repertoire and showing off fingerprints. In one camp, you had roots bands like Badfinger, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and Grand Funk Railroad, who revved up their rhythm sections and shunned experimentation. In another camp came bold, eccentric noodling. Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Yes, and Genesis, who strung out their songs past 5 and 6 minutes and turned virtuosity into a new rock virtue. This subgenre became known as prog rock for its progressive ideas about rock style and its potential future. A lot of critics recoiled. Rock had been forged as a teen genre with democratic values, a folk music that prized feeling over skill, raw emotion over studied musicianship. But one group that crossed this boundary successfully quoted classical with an expert rhythm section. On its 1971 album, Fragile, Yes argued the progressive rock case with a fierce attack that somehow redeemed all the showing off. Yes debuted with a futuristic agenda on its 1969 album by retooling a left-field Beatle track, which sounded like the original had been sucked into a vortex.
Every little thing she does for me, yeah. And you know the thing she does for me.
You could measure rock's development between 1964 and 1969 in the distance between that Beatles original and Yes's remake.
Yes, I know that she loves me now. There is one thing I'm sure of. I will love her forever. Cause I know love will never die.
Yes also rearranged a trademark Paul Simon song into a shifting hyperbolic style, almost as if that folky from Queens had sprouted Spock ears.
Chicken seems like a dream to me now. She said the man in
the cavity of Super's spine. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a camera.
So this band already had arranging chops and the passion to carry off such unlikely covers. By its fourth album, Yes took in keyboardist Rick Wakeman, who had studied at the Royal College of Music. Earlier, he had played for the Straubs on David Bowie's hit Space Oddity and the Bach-influenced Cat Stevens track Morning Has Broken. The album opens with Roundabout, which became a top 20 hit for the band, with strong work from Wakeman and bassist Chris Squire. If you picked up Yes's Fragile album on the basis of this hit single, the very next track caused double takes. Throughout Fragile, each band member got a solo track. Cans and Brahms featured Wakeman's synthesizer arrangement of the third movement to Brahms's Fourth Symphony. Wakeman overdubbed each layer of sound here, so he's literally playing along with himself to rearrange Brahms' orchestration for 20th century electronics. Wakeman's arrangement captured the most peculiar aspect of Brahms, his jaunty nonchalance, as though this symphonic material seemed right at home on a rock album. Wakeman's affection for Brahms' orchestration shines through in passages like this, where woodwind writing unfurls into whirling synthesizer runs. This is how that same passage sounds with Brahms' original orchestration. If you had never heard this music before, you could easily mistake it for a lighthearted diversion. But the more you listened, the more you became aware of the music's sturdy sophistication and the way the melody swelled to its inevitable finish. Back in the analog days, this arrangement came through painstaking overdubs with synthesizers and 8-track tape machines. Wakeman's dexterity translated Brahms' symphony for a contemporary audience. Here's how the original sounds as performed by Charles McCarris and the Scottish Chamber Symphony. Thank you. This Brahms orchestral movement lasts for over 6 minutes and includes a disarming brass chorale for a middle section that Wakeman omits completely. Wakeman's arrangement accomplishes the near impossible. He gives the overly fastidious Brahms a comfy chair in Rock's living room. Brahms lived during the fever of the Romantic era, the heir to Beethoven's symphonic tradition, and as unlikely a romantic as the rebel Beethoven was a classicist. Brahms' great theme turns out to be nostalgia, the longing for a distant, romanticized past that has little to do with how it was once lived. But as a genius of music and one of our first musicologists, Brahms studied all of classical history and had an eerie self-consciousness about where he fit into the larger picture. He was so intimidated by Beethoven that he spent 10 years working on his first symphony. When the last movement referenced Beethoven's Ode to Joy, one wag called it Beethoven's 10th. To Brahms, the highest compliment. Here's Beethoven's Ode to Joy from the last movement of his 9th symphony, and then the last movement to Brahms's 1st symphony, also in C major, a deliberate echo of Beethoven's theme. Brahms had a conservative streak that made him uncomfortable as a romantic. Charged with carrying on a tradition he didn't feel quite worthy of, he studied laboriously and composed with meticulous, irreproachable rigor. Charged with inventing a future for the tradition, he stretched forms as he compressed the music's language. His music sings in a dense tongue, and too much Brahms can prove too rich for many. A lot of his work can sound overly serious, even though his genius for melody and structure overrides his gift for orchestration and humor. However, certain passages reveal a clever prankster, and by his 4th and last symphony, the 3rd movement conveys a joyous enthusiasm rare for Brahms. Yes already stood apart with fantastical lyrics and roving song structure, and nobody ever accused Brahms of cracking too many jokes. Then again, nobody ever accused Yes of being funny at all. So an irony leaps out here. One of Brahms' most lighthearted and buoyant efforts, used to spruce up the otherwise pretentious prog rock song sequence. The rest of this symphony, the fourth of four, has a somber, almost funereal seriousness. Here's how the next and final movement starts. Good thing Yes didn't tackle that material. Yes enjoyed a heady moment with this record. For a few tracks, they played intricate yet soaring music that pointed towards a rock style where virtuosity and clever extended song forms seemed a natural extension of psychedelia. And the overt Brahms reference only made their pretension that much more plausible. Unlike bands like Emerson, Lake & Palmer, with players who seemed to revel in simply flashy fingers, with this album, Yes found a more integrated approach to how classical might inform rock textures. For another example, here's Yes's lead singer John Anderson's solo track, where he overdubs multiple harmonies, singing along with himself for something called We Have Heaven. May not have a Brahmsian cast, but it does create texture through interweaving vocal lines for new colors that extend the intricate harmonies of the Byrds and the Beatles. A more recent use of a Brahms symphony comes from an unlikelier source, Carlos Santana's 1999 solo album, Supernatural. Pin of the slow movement to Brahms' third symphony, marked Poco Allegretto. Many cellists thrill to playing in a section that leans into these sensual curves. For the rest of this podcast, we'll listen to the entire third movement to Brahms' Fourth Symphony, which premiered in Vienna in 1885 with the composer conducting. This recording features Charles McCarris conducting the Scottish Chamber Orchestra. Thank you. For Rollover Beethoven, I'm Tim Riley. In this episode, we heard Rick Wakeman play his synthesizer arrangement of the third movement to Brahms' Fourth Symphony, and his group Yes playing the track Roundabout and We Have Heaven. In the Brahms, we heard Charles McCarris conduct the Scottish Chamber Orchestra in a Teldec recording.